This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 27, 2021, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
If I touch even his garments, I shall be made well.
The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Sometimes the homilies are all theological, sometimes they're all moral. Every now and then, though, you got to do a practical homily. When I mean practical, I mean down to brass tacks practical stuff, things, even holy things. That is the world of sacramentals. Sacramentals are something that particularly traditional Catholics embrace and venerate. That they use to great effect. It is unfortunate in our day and age that many Catholics in a lot of places, they don't really pay that much attention to sacramentals. If people show up at this parish, I was at an adult forum one day and I just made mention of sacramentals. Like, you know, holy water, holy salt, holy oil, it's a hand shot up. Holy what? I said, salt, holy water, holy. I've never even heard of holy salt. Person was in their 40s. They'd never heard of blessed salt. That's a deficiency. We should know of these things, the things that God gives us to use, as I said, if you use them in faith, with great effect. Protestants look at, you know, Catholics ignore or look at them apathetically in the modernist circles, but Protestants deny. But superstitious nonsense to think something is blessed and it will do this or that or the other thing. You mean like the gospel today? You like the gospel when the woman in faith comes up to our Lord Jesus Christ? If I just touch his garment, I'll be made well. If it was sort of like Protestant-esque, wouldn't it be, if I can get Jesus' attention and he prays over me, then I'll be healed. Or no, if I just touch the hem of his garment, can a piece of cloth heal you? No. She had that much faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that she knew that things are just in proximity to him would be a conduit of his grace. The Gospel of Mark says, if I touch his garment, Matthew gets even more specific. If I touch but the hem of his garment, I just need to touch the edge. I don't need to get close to him and grab it with both hands or rub it on my face or anything like that. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. And it happens. You don't pick a piece of scripture out and talk about some superstitious woman who thought something and then Jesus, by his grace, healed. Okay, let's go to other places in scripture, like the book of Acts. St. Peter does great miracles at the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter doesn't perform the miracles. Jesus Christ performs the miracles through Peter. To the point where people had such faith and what Jesus Christ did through Peter, that when Peter walked down the street, they put themselves in a position, even if his shadow falls on me, it's Acts chapter 5, if you want to check me out, if even his shadow falls on me, I'll be made well. And you know what happened? They were made well. Acts 19, St. Paul, same deal as St. Peter. He's doing some pretty tremendous miracles at the behest of our Lord. And this is actually repugnant. He walked down the street and throw a handkerchief that he had used on the side, and people would go out and grab it. Yeah, that's in scripture. They go out and grab his used handkerchiefs, and they would take them home to people. And they were cured and delivered from demons. This is kind of interesting to see the way God uses other people and things, objects, to communicate his graces. Because this is what sacramentals are. They are conduits of his grace. We don't think, Bishop Sheen, love him. Hundreds of thousands of people hate the Catholic Church because of what they think she believes. We don't think or believe that stuff cures anything. We have such a devout affection for Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy that we know that he uses all kinds of things to communicate his graces to us. This is the world of sacramentals. We should use them. They are of the utmost importance. But hold this thought, they need to be used properly. We have to understand what we're dealing with when we talk about sacramentals. This whole idea of things working on other things, even in nature, we see this kind of stuff. I mean, granted, it's scientific explanations, but I mean, the same principle applies. Why does a magnet draw other pieces of metal toward it? There's a force that goes on there. Yeah, you can explain it by natural means, but it's the same principle. Some object works on another object. And we don't look at this passage and think of Jesus, he felt virtue go out of him. I used to travel in the circles. I've heard many Protestants talk about, like Jesus lost something. And that's not how it's supposed to be looked upon. He didn't lose anything. He didn't lose any virtue. It's like, darn, I only had so much virtue when I left the house this morning, and you know, now 10% of it's gone because some woman touched me, and I didn't want her to do that. That is not at all what's going on. Jesus lost nothing of the graces that were in him. He just knew that something had happened to someone else, and he knew that he's the one that heals things. Who did this? Again, he wants somebody to fess up for what they did. He's God. He knows. All right. He wants some confession. All right. And she didn't do anything wrong. But he's making a point to everyone around him. You know, just because virtue came out of, again, we don't look at what Jesus has as having quantity. He's eternal. He's infinite. There's an infinite quantity of grace in him. I mean, we even have a temporal example of that with teachers. People who got a doctoral degree go to school for 20 years. Their heads are just full of knowledge. And then they go, and what do? Most of them, they teach. You teach other people. You share your knowledge with them. Do you have any less knowledge? Well, I feel a little more dumb, now that I teach this big class. No! So it's the same principle applies to Jesus in a spiritual realm. All right? This is how things work, even in the world. So it shouldn't like raise anybody's eyebrows that the one who created the world uses the same thing spiritually. Neither is the sacramentals. We need to step back. This is where it gets practical. There are little footnotes in here too, so you understand some things. Don't why me on this. Well, why would Jesus do what? Ask him when you get to heaven. If I can answer every question as to why God does something, all right, he's not God anymore, if I can explain him. We know why he does things. We just know how he does things. How has he done things? He gave his apostles, for instance, authority over particularly diseases and demons. He gave other men his authority to go cast out. To any of the apostles, I mean, even when they're casting out demons and things, they got a lot of issues. They're saints now, but they weren't then. But they were still casting out demons because Jesus wanted them. He gave them the authority to do so. So when we see them work, and then we see like the Acts, kind of Paul's handkerchiefs, St. Peter's shadow. When we see them, we also see that Jesus uses not only them, but things associated with them to communicate graces to us. This is what he does in the sacramentals. Yeah. Some of them are very profound, like Eucharist. You know, there are documented cases, time and time again, where the Eucharist has been used to heal saints. The saints were on their deathbed, and a priest would come in and touch them with the Eucharist, and they would be instantaneously healed. Does a piece of bread heal you? No. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ does. It is what he communicates, such graces. This is why it works. Now, does that work with everybody all the time? Absolutely not. Or I'd be, I'm sure, at the hospital constantly. Touch me with the Eucharist. It doesn't work like that. All right? Sacramentals are like that. We'll discuss that here in a couple seconds. But when we look at these things, the Eucharist, relics. Oh, there are a lot of Catholics. That's repugnant. I can't believe they still do that. Relics. St. Maria Goretti on our altar. That's disgusting. You got somebody's bones on your altar. That shouldn't have been done. Oh, really? Really, to have a little piece of the vessel through which the Holy Spirit used in the life of a 12-year-old girl. Most 12-year-olds will fold when you yell at them or look at them wrong. And she stood up to a demonic murderer and kept her chastity at the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And to think for one moment to have a little part of her isn't of benefit spiritually to us is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Because it's not her, it's what the Holy Spirit did through her. And those bones were part of her when it happened. And it is so cool to walk by this altar and we're celebrating Mass and look over there occasionally. She gets incensed every time we incense. This is what goes on with relics. They're not repugnant. They're a very honorable badge of what the Holy Spirit has done. When we have that orientation, we understand the sacramentals more. Then we're going to kind of hit some footnotey kind of things here. If you are new to this parish, and this, I can tell by the looks on some faces sometimes. From what I understand, it's kind of difficult to get things blessed at other places, which is kind of befuddles me because that's part of what the church is supposed to do. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's just not teaching you, you know, propositions and things. Like, it's actually giving you things that can help you in your life of faith, like the sacramentals. That's a very important thing in the church. But historically, things that are blessed for certain purposes are blessed specifically. So I kind of feel bad occasionally because somebody will come in with a big, huge box of stuff. Can you bless this? Yes, I can. And you're like, okay, go ahead. He's like, you need to leave it. And then when they get it 2 weeks later, they're like, you know, you can do it. 2 weeks? Yeah. You know, because I mean, there's a lot of other things going on around here. But that box full of stuff, this needs this prayer, this needs that prayer, this needs... It's not a matter of going like this over something. That does not make it a sacramental. I watched a priest, somebody asked for holy water one time, and that's what he did. That's really pushing the issue as to whether that's holy water or not. Now, it's blessed. He just blessed it, so it's blessed water. It's better than it was before. But traditionally, holy water, a lot of people bring, oh, it's a holy water? Yeah. It takes like 10 minutes to make holy water. And that's if you're kind of rushing. You make holy water. You do an exorcism over salt. You do a prayer over the salt. You do an exorcism over the water. You do a prayer over the water. Then you do a prayer while you're mixing the two together. And then after they're mixed, you do another prayer. And they're all long. And they're all done in Latin around here. So that kind of slows things down also. So, this is holy water. All right? There are exorcisms involved in this. It's not this. Like I said, I'm not here. I'll let him do what he's going to do with things like that. But that's the way it's traditionally made. So when you come in with, you got a box of holy water, oil, salt, pictures, images, they all get their own blessing. That's why it takes so long. Okay? So that's just a little food for thought on that one right there. But please, bring things in. The more, the better. Hold that thought. Okay. Sacramentals are called sacramentals because they resemble sacraments. Resemble. It's an apples and oranges proposition. Sacraments were instituted by God. They are specific. They work ex opere operato because of what they are. It has nothing to do with our faith. They just are what they are. And they are necessary for your salvation. Sacramentals, they work on your faith. There, you can't open the scriptures. And Jesus said, make them holy water and blessed salt and holy oil. He didn't say that. Okay? That's something that the church does with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So they're not instituted by Christ and they're not necessary for your salvation. You can never have had holy water, salt, or oil in your house ever and never have it, and you'll go to heaven if you live a life of faith and obedience. They're not necessary for salvation. They're helpful for some things in this world, but they're not necessary for salvation. So there's a huge difference there, an incomparable difference. So when we look at the sacramentals, they are very efficacious. They work. spiritually. If you have faith, and if you know what their purpose is, they increase our fear and love of God. They remit venial sins. They preserve us from temptations and illnesses, dangers to the body. Unless, of course, that temptation or illness is for your betterment. And they are occasionally. Book of Tobit, if you are accounted worthy of God, you will be tested. So, I'm being tested. I'm going to throw holy oil water all over myself. Might work or might not. Okay? You might have all the faith in the world, but God might want you to be. So that's not going to cut it. All right? We have to understand this about the sacramentals. They are efficacious, but again, they work on faith and also Him working through them. This is where I'm getting real practical. And before I start, and I've said this on every homily, but I know, please don't get your feathers ruffled, but I know I have ruffled a couple feathers. So be it. I'll use myself as an example. I'm a priest. I'm pretty specific and jacked up about how the liturgy is done. It's very important, the way we worship God. There's not like a month that goes by that I don't read something, a commentary or a liturgical manual from back in the day and go, oh man, I've never been doing that. Or I've been doing this. And I get corrected. And I don't go, oh, I was such a trashy priest. I need to go to confession now. No, I learned something. Thank you, Lord. We're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to deepen our understanding of things. We never look at ourselves, and this is not an accusation of sin in any way, shape, or form, because sin's got to be with a culpable state of mind. You have to know that you're sinning to do it. So if you've just been doing something and it might not be really appropriate, so again, don't get your feathers ruffled over this. Like you said, a couple have over the past couple masses. But so be it. You know, if that's what it takes, nobody likes to fail a test either. But what does that do? It's a catalyst to make you study harder. When we look at sacramentals, you got to know some foundational thing. One, this should be a no-brainer. If you're in mortal sin, don't bother with them. They will not work. Because if you're in mortal sin, you separated yourself from the grace of Jesus Christ Himself. So why do you expect the things that are conduits of His grace to work for you? I got holy water all over my house and isn't you're in mortal sin, guy. And it's not going to work. Doesn't matter how much, how often, it's not going to work. You got to be in a state of grace for them to work. You have to use them in a spirit of faith and confidence that they will work, like the woman. It wasn't like, well, maybe if I only touch His garment, I will be made whole. What's our Lord Jesus Christ's response? Woman, thy faith has made you whole. I was reading it. I'm aware of a commentary by John Calvin. Heretic. When that woman approached Jesus, she had some elements of superstition in her. Really, John? Because Jesus said it's her faith is why she approached. Who are you to say she was superstitious? Jesus said just the opposite. Her faith had made her whole because she touched the garment. His grace went through her. So it's Jesus Christ working through these things. We have to understand that they are holy, so we have to act as if they are holy. And we need to know their purpose. When I talk about sacrament, I am not talking about crucifixes, images of Our Lady, images of saints, this, that, or the other thing. I hope you have so many of them that you trip over them in your house. The more, the better. That applies to things like images. It doesn't apply to, and this is where I'm going with basically the big three as far as the sacramentals. Water, salt, and oil. Holy water. It's for a purpose. It's for blessing things. We cast holy water on everything. Why do we do that? Because it blesses it. It's holy. It's been blessed. Exercise salt. Exercise water. It works if you have faith. Let's just use the formula. A little bit goes a long way. This is not a matter of if I use more, it's better. When we come into church, what do? Dip our finger in holy water, get a couple drops, and you do the sign of the cross. Okay. Well, if that's good, why don't we have a shower head with a big bucket of holy water and come in and do that? We'll be more holy then. No, you won't. Okay, no, it doesn't work like that. A little bit goes a long way. Even when I bless things, if you bring in a statue, I'm slinging holy water all over that. I don't mean that pejoratively, but in a holy sense, slinging, I'm putting holy water all over that. If you bring in a painting, or a book. Guess what? I don't sling holy water all over it. I take my thumb and I put it in holy water. I do a little cross on the... Why? Because it is water and it will wreck things like that. Holy or not, okay? It's water. This is what we need to look at it. Can you drink holy water? Absolutely. Should you? Absolutely. On occasion. For a reason. I mean, it's just spiritual things. Bad dreams, whatever. You know, repeated bad dreams. Sip a little holy water. I don't feel well physically. Sip a little holy water. That's a good thing. Do not drink a glass of holy water when you get up in the morning and go to bed at night. That's irreligious. It's not for that. It should not be used for that. I'm a priest, so you can imagine. I use holy water at any opportunity around my house. I'll just talk personally. I don't even have holy water fonts in my house. I've got a little glass bottle because I can carry it around with me. Holy water fonts stick to the wall. I could bring this everywhere I want, around the house, do this, do that, the other thing like that. It's that big. It lasts me a better part of a year. Better part of a year. I get kind of when people are bringing me 4 gallons every couple months. What are we doing? Don't laugh. Okay? Don't laugh. I say the worst. Father, could you come out in the parking lot and bless some holy water for me out the truck? Yes, I can. I go out there. The whole bed of a pickup truck was filled with these big Crystal River five. I'm like, yeah. No. It's not supposed to work like that. That's irreligious. You know, do we all not get nauseous when we see the pictures of the priests shooting holy water with the squirt guns? It should make you nauseous. That's sacrilege. It's holy water. It should be. Well, it's holy water. What difference does it make out? That's ridiculous. How would you like to come in one day and I had the doors propped open with a stack of Bibles? Everybody, hey, there are Bibles. What are you doing? Well, they work. But no, they're not for that. Exactly. Holy water is for a purpose. Use it for the purpose. And like I said, little goes a long way. Holy salt. Out of all the three, holy salt, what? One consideration. If the holy water that you may have, because if people have wants holy salt, they have holy water. It's kind of a hierarchy of things. Everybody's got holy water. Not many people have holy salt. If it's done traditionally, the holy water, as I just explained, contains holy salt. Now, should you have some salt around? Yeah, you should. Why? Because water evaporates. And I mean, the thing that was blessed is anything less holy after it evaporates. You know, like when you bless a house, why did I bless a house? I use holy water and I use holy salt. This holy salt stays around for a little bit longer. It'll mean your house, you need to come bless it again because all the salt's gone. No. Okay, your house is still blessed. Everything's what it should be. Holy salt, just like the holy water and drinking it. Can you use holy salt when you cook things? Yes, you may. Would I suggest you use it to cook things if the situation... You got a group of pagans coming over to your house, and you got your lapsed Catholic friends who are belligerent to the faith, and, you know, we don't need priests, we don't need a pope, you know, and all that kind of good stuff. What would you make the dinner? Put a little pinch of holy salt in there. That's what it's for. That's what you... Do not put it in the salt shakers in your house. There are some people, I bless a whole lot of holy salt, and I wonder where it goes. The holy salt thing, it's not a cooking ingredient. It's for a specific purpose. If it says, hey, a tablespoon of salt, and you're going to use some holy salt, a pinch of holy salt, and a tablespoon of Morton's. That's where we should approach this. Holy oil. This is probably the one that gets me the most. I'm a priest, if you haven't noticed. I get called to anoint a lot of sick people all the time. Father Jason is a priest who works in this parish and his own, and he gets called a lot to anoint sick people with holy oil. We get holy oil once a year from the bishop after Holy Thursday. We get sacred chrism, the oil of the catechumens, and the oil for the infirm, the sick. That's it. This is what I get every single year. We know how long ago Easter was, right? I've been anointing a lot of people. Father Jason's been anointing a lot of people. And this bottle is completely full. In all my years of priesthood, this is what I get once a year. And again, context, I'm a priest, and there's another priest who uses out of this bottle. Never, ever in all the years has there been anything close to half of this bottle gone at the end of the year. Why do I see quart after quart after quart of holy oil? It really makes me concerned. I've actually asked, you're an awful lot of oil. Well, yeah, this, and there's always like this tap dancing around, you know, as to what happens with it. I've heard, well, you know, I give some to my friends. Stop. Stop. You don't know the faith of your friends. And I'm not talking about the invalid, very pious Catholic woman who lives across the street. Bring her some holy oil. She needs it. Because that's its specific purpose, to cure people when they're sick, to bless them when they're sick. The prayer for holy oil, grant we beseech thee, O Lord, that they who will use this oil, which we bless in thy name, may be delivered from every suffering and every illness, not, and that their chicken will taste better. It's not a cooking ingredient. Just like salt, you can use a little bit if it's necessary, but it's for anointing sick people, yourself, your kids, not divvying it out amongst people. That's not what it's for. You are responsible for a holy object. You are responsible for it. Yeah. God's particular about his stuff. You dispose of it. It's got to be disposed of in a proper way. You don't use it willy-nilly. Again, it's not an ingredient for cooking. It's something holy. And that's irreligious to do things like that. Less than half of that in a year for two priests. Why the quarter after quart thing? Problematic. This is another concern. Yeah, touched on that enough. Trusting too much in them. That's the best case scenario, trusting too much in them. Because again, they work on faith and they work when God wants them to work. They're not like the sacraments. We can trust too much in them. That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is people can use them superstitiously. Every single morning I have to do this. It's like, be consistent in your thought. We have had a couple occasions. When you bless the incense, you know, I like to use as much as I can, so I scoop the spoon up so some of the incense is always falling on the floor. And it's right, there'll be people scrambling like to pick up the incense. You know, you don't have to worry about the incense, but it's blessed. Yeah, so is the holy water that we throw all over the place all the time. You know, it's a sacramental. You don't have to defend that with your life. I came in one here during the day. Came in from the sacristy a few years ago now. And I watched a guy that came in off the street and he was washing his face in the holy water font. We had words. I was righteously indignant. We had words and he was sent on his way. Okay. We just had words because it's holy water. There's no, you know, no harm, no foul. You should know better. It's as a church. Get out of here. You know, don't be taking a bird bath in my holy water fonts. That was the extent of it. If you come up and try to get the Eucharist, we're fighting. And I mean that literally. What? You'd hit somebody repeatedly. That's Jesus Christ. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's holy water. And you know, you obviously don't care about it, so it's not, you know, it's not like, it burns! You know, no, that's not how it works. All right? The Eucharist is something completely different. This, we got to have our priorities straight. The Scriptures teach us that we can be too attentive to things as holy as they might be, the Ark of the Covenant. Really, I can't think of any sacramental that is more holy than something that contains a bowl of manna that God sent down from heaven, the budded rod of Jesse, and the tables of the law that Moses received. That's a pretty good sacramental. The people of Israel, some bad priests at the time, who God was not happy with them anyway, they're in a battle with the Philistines. And, hey, we got beat yesterday. Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant out there. Yeah, that's God's presence. And Shekinah glory's in there. Yeah, well, yeah, that's what we'll do. That's not what the Ark of the Covenant is for. And they marched the Ark of the Covenant out onto the battlefield. And guess what happened? Not only did they lose, God let the Philistines take the Ark of the Covenant from them. They were superstitious about what it was. We can be too superstitious about sacramentals. We don't want to go there. They're a glorious thing. They work. If we have faith, let's leave it at that and use them the way they need to be used for the purpose that they're going to be used. It's about faith with the sacramentals. And part of that faith is knowing how to use them and what they're used for. So let's be like the woman. When the Lord works through those things, look it down on us and say, thy faith has made thee well, or thy faith has blessed this or that or the other thing. But at the end of the day, we have to understand it is he who is working through it. And we have to have the proper faith for them to work. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.